We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From Pod World headquarters, this is the Carolina Insider from Learfield IMG College.
We're back. Time for another edition of the Carolina Insider. Jones and Adam here with you. Just Jones at the moment, just getting you ready for what is about to become our Roadhouse Challenge. You guys have the choice of voting in one of four basketball movies with basketball season underway. And choices were White Men Can't Jump, Space Jam, Hoosiers, and Blue Chips. It was tight to the very end between Hoosiers and Space Jam, but as is normally the case, MJ came in the clutch, performed at the end, and got the win. So we'll be going through Space Jam in the Roadhouse Challenge in just a moment. Wanted to remind you about a couple of our great sponsors before we get there. That includes LS Tractor. Don't let your outside chores or projects cause you to miss any Tar Heel game action. Let LS Tractor help make short work of them, and visit lstractorusa.com to see the difference. LS Tractor, what's it about for you? UNC Healthcare, dedicated to caring for champions of all kinds and to help keep you in the game and at your very best. You can see their lineup at unchealthcare.org/sports. The College Foundation of North Carolina as well. Visit cfnc.org for everything you need to plan, apply, and pay for college this application season, now in an updated format. Two more to remind you about. Independent Insurance Agents of North Carolina. Trusted choice, Independent Insurance Agents of North Carolina want you to stay safe behind the wheel. Put down your phone while driving. Let's have a hands-free NC. Visit trustedchoice.com to find an agent near you. And finally, we want to welcome on to the podcast somebody that we talk about a lot, but the Rams Club. If you're looking for a gift for the Tar Heel in your life, you can give the gift of membership with a Carolina Kids Club, Student Rams Club, or Rams Club membership this holiday season. Those memberships start at just $25, and your membership makes an impact on the student athletes you cheer for on the field, on the court, and in competition. You can visit ramsclub.com/gift for more information. Okay, let's get right to it. Michael Jordan, Bugs Bunny, aliens. It's Space Jam.
The Roadhouse Challenge.
JCPenney is coming here because of me.
Today.
I see aliens. They force their way inside your bodies. You need your talent to win a basketball game against Bugs Bunny.
Don't forget my North Carolina shorts.
Your shorts? From college?
Bunny, will you just let me watch the game? Barkley's killing us.
Don't ever call me
doll.
Suffering succotash. They're monsters.
I believe I can fly. Woo. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away.
It is the 1996 classic. I use that term loosely. Space Jam in the Roadhouse Challenge today. And Adam, we may as well, since it is buffering us into this Roadhouse Challenge, we may as well just address one of the elephants in the room right now. I Believe I Can Fly is a good song. The man who sang this song, R. Kelly. Neither Adam nor I condone R. Kelly's actions off the court and off the field. But we do respect this one song, but not R. Kelly in any way.
I think all of that is accurate. And it is fascinating to me that had we done this Roadhouse Challenge in 1999, when we used to do the podcast back then.
Right.
The whole thing would have revolved around I Believe I Can Fly. But in 2020, it's all about come on and jam and welcome to the jam. But because I Believe I Can Fly it's barely in the movie, really. And people don't talk about it anymore. But I'm telling you, if you watched MTV in 1996, this video is seared in your brain, and there's absolutely no doubt at some point you went out and shot baskets in the driveway while that song played in your head, and you believed you could jump a little higher because you were singing that song.
My son, who is 8, has watched Space Jam and likes I Believe I Can Fly. I can't break the fourth wall with him just yet. I have to just let him like the song.
Yeah, it's not time now. But when like he's in middle school and he's putting together his highlight clip.
Sure, yeah.
And he uses that as the backing music. I think that's when you say, maybe we could pick something else.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to have to say. Let's talk about making good choices off the court.
Yeah.
In total, it's a pretty good soundtrack.
The soundtrack is stacked.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell you the people who are on the soundtrack.
Yep. It's like a 90s who's who.
It really is.
Of R&B.
Seal.
Yep. He has a cover of Fly Like an Eagle.
Coolio.
Oh, yeah, Coolio.
Quad City DJs.
Yep, Come On, Ride That Train. Not in this movie, but.
R. Kelly. Busta Rhymes.
Yep.
LL Cool J.
Yeah.
Method Man.
Mm-hmm.
Monica. Salt and Peppa.
All for One.
A duet between Barry White and Chris Rock.
That's right.
Jay-Z. And then. How about
the duet between the Spin Doctors and Biz Markie?
That's what I was just about to say. To me, that is what puts it over the top. Like, we have collected this roster of R&B superstars, and we need something to cap it off. Last track on the album. It's 1995-96. Who can we put on here that will make people buy this album? What about the Spin Doctors and the guy who sings Just a Friend?
Yeah. Spin Doctors had a pretty catchy hit about 5 or 6 years ago.
Well, who looked at that list and was like, I think maybe the Spin Doctors would be a good addition here.
What song should we have them sing? How about something from KC and the Sunshine Band originally?
I really wish I could have been in that meeting.
I like it. I mean, who hears That's the Way I Like It and goes, guys, Spin Doctors and Biz Markie, let's go.
This song has lived a good life, but for Generation 2, we need Little Miss Can't Be Wrong, the artist who made that a hit, to come in here and update this for 1996.
Side note, Little Miss Can't Be Wrong is a terrific song. I don't care. I'll listen to it when it comes on the radio every time.
What about Two Princes?
I like that too. That was it for the Spin Doctors.
Yeah, I've just named their greatest hits.
Other than this, of course.
Well, yeah.
But I like them both.
I'll take that back. I hope you're doing fine. If I had a dollar, I might give you 99.
Man, we are off to a hot start.
The stats say that there were X downloads and no one listened past minute 3.
So Adam, you know, normally we go through like the main actors of the movie and everything, but Space Jam's a little different. Mm. I mean, you have semi-important roles from Wayne Knight, who is Newman from Seinfeld, and you have a small voice role by Danny DeVito, and you have Bill Murray, who, and we can talk about this, I believe Bill Murray had no script in this. I just think they're like, Bill Murray, you just go do whatever you want.
Bill Murray, we've got this cartoon movie with Michael Jordan. Yeah. I'm in. What time should I be there?
But quite literally, the two stars listed for this movie are Michael Jordan and Bugs Bunny. And so there's not a whole lot of background I can give you on this other than, and we'll talk about this as we go through the movie, what a brilliant marketing move by Michael Jordan and David Falk, his agent. Because honestly, Adam, really what this movie is a 90-minute reminder of how awesome Michael Jordan is at everything. And it's just, as you saw even in The Last Dance this past spring, I think it is a part of the whole Michael Jordan story is how popular this movie was at the time and with kids, and it's part of what made him such an enormous star.
And I think part of the reminder of how big he was is how difficult it's been to get this whole Space Jam 2 actually going.
Well, this is not a good movie. And the acting isn't good. The story is not very good. It's a silly, fun kid movie, but it worked because it was Michael Jordan.
And I'm assuming that's how it got made. They're like, I'm not sure this pitch is really going anywhere. Oh, yeah, we've got Michael Jordan on board. Okay, let's do it.
Right.
And I think the thing is that now, like, all right, we're going to do Space Jam 2. It's got LeBron. And everybody's kind of like, all right. That's fine. We really like Space Jam 1 with Michael Jordan. Is Michael Jordan going to be in Space Jam 2? Then we're in.
So, and Adam, I'd be interested if you saw the same stuff. Kind of how this movie got made was that there was a commercial, Hair Jordan, H-A-R-E, with Bugs Bunny and Michael Jordan. And it worked to the point they're like, maybe we could extend this to a feature-length film. And Warner Brothers was trying to kind of reboot Looney Tunes and get them out into the popular culture a little bit more, which they very successfully did with this movie. And so that's where this marriage kind of came together for what was the first ever, which, and I will say, I was impressed by some of the stuff they did with the combo live action animation sports aspect of this. And it was the first movie to try this.
Well, Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Well, I meant for sports.
Oh yeah.
For sports. So it felt to me though, Adam, that it was like they had a good like 30 to 45 minute TV special that they added some stuff in to make it long enough to be a movie, and it worked fine.
I think today this is a Netflix special.
Probably.
The director of the commercial was Joe Pitka, who then became the director of the movie. Joe Pitka today looks exactly like a guy who you would tell me directed a movie with Bugs Bunny and Michael Jordan in the mid-90s.
Nice.
He looks like that's that guy. And I think again, it was 1995. That's fine. Let's take a commercial and turn it into a movie. Although, really, I think if you were going to take a Michael Jordan commercial and make it a movie, I'd rather see the Mars Blackman movie with Michael Jordan. And I think at one point, Joe Pitka did have Spike Lee kind of on the fringes of being involved with this. But Warner Brothers was mad at Spike Lee because of Malcolm X, the movie, not the actual person. And so Spike Lee got pushed out. I would have liked to have seen what Spike... I think you got a different movie if Spike Lee is involved with this.
Sure.
But then, I mean, he had to go to Cole Anthony's draft party.
Right.
And then he just got busy and wasn't able to
participate.
Things
to do.
Right. So...
But you know what? I'll also say, I don't think this movie is... I think part of what made this movie successful was that it is so kid-oriented. And so I mean, adding Spike Lee into this would feel like you're putting a square peg in a round hole or whatever. It doesn't feel like it would have worked.
I do think you and I are just a little
too
far on the age spectrum of the sweet spot of this movie.
And and I think you're talking about, and I agree with you, when it came out.
Right, exactly.
I think if you were in the age of like 8 to 12 or something when this movie came out, it would be one of your most favorite things ever if you were a kid who liked sports. I mean, because you're talking cartoons, basketball, Michael Jordan, plus other big, I mean, legitimate stars of the day, and Ewing and Barkley and Larry Johnson and guy
Sean Bradley.
Muggsy Bogues. Although, I mean, let's be honest, Muggsy Bogues is a much bigger star than Sean Bradley.
Yes.
And so I can see why there is a group of people who love this movie so much. But I do think you and I were probably a little too old when it came out. This is the first time I've seen it all the way through. I'd seen pieces of it when my son was watching it, but that was really it. But there are some people who absolutely love this movie.
I'm always surprised by the passion people have for this movie for that exact reason. Like, I think I was too old to get it, but even... in the Twitter response to the Roadhouse Challenge poll,
yes,
I was surprised, and quite honestly, I was surprised it won.
I thought Hoosiers was going to win.
I did too, because I do feel that way about Hoosiers, which came out before Space Jam when I was in that age. So we should probably have roughly about a 30-year-old on here, and I think they would really be passionate.
Yeah, I'm right here, Adam. One more thing to this point, and then we can get into the movie, but I was... explaining to my son that I was watching it for this reason, and he was asking what the other movies were, and I said Hoosiers. So he was like, "What's Hoosiers?" I was like, "Well, it's about Indiana high school basketball." He was like, "What?" So, just some real life backing of your point there, Adam.
We're gonna run the picket fence,
right? There's gonna be there's a real emotional moment between a dad and his son on the bench. He's like, "What? Where's Marvin the Martian?" That's much better. Okay. One more thing, Adam. I was stunned at how many Looney Tunes characters there are. And I knew them all. But I have to say, like, the crossover between Disney and Warner Brothers in my mind, like, even when when it was clear this is the movie we were going to do, I was like, is this on Disney Plus? And you're like, no, it's not Disney. So, I mean, I know all these characters kind of on the fringe of my mind, and they all get to have their kind of signature cartoony moments in this movie. But I was surprised at how deep the Looney Tunes roster is, I guess is my point.
This might be a dumb question. Is there still Looney Tunes? Does that still come on?
I don't think cartoons like that come on anymore, no.
So today's 3 to 8-year-old, do they know
I would
Bugs
assume
Bunny?
That, you know, I should have asked my son if he knew who Bugs... Well, like, he would from this movie. I don't know if he would from another... I don't know. Because, like, Bugs Bunny is the Mickey Mouse equivalent, right?
Right.
From Warner Brothers compared to Disney. I don't know.
But you knew Mickey Mouse because of all the movies and stuff. You knew Bugs Bunny because he came on Saturday morning at 11 or whatever for an hour... and the Roadrunner was on there, and Daffy and all the gang.
Right.
But they clearly don't come on Saturday mornings anymore. So how does today's youngster become aware of Bugs Bunny if they are aware of Bugs Bunny?
That's where LeBron James and Space Jam 2 come in, Adam.
I guess so.
Are you ready to get to this?
Okay.
Adam, the movie starts with the aforementioned I Believe I Can Fly. Young Michael Jordan shooting out in his driveway.
I like this part.
Yeah. Well, it's heavy Tar Heels.
Right, that's why.
That might be why you like it. By the way, Brandon Hammond got to play young MJ. How tough did that kid think he was in 1996 or whatever?
Yeah.
So it's after midnight, and young MJ's out shooting hoops, like you do after midnight in the driveway in North Carolina. And, Adam, that's when we get our first North Carolina mention. There are a couple in this movie, which, hey, thanks, MJ. That's just MJ doing the Tar Heels a solid. That's all that is. And so the dad, who is... It was odd. Like, they used Michael Jordan's actual family's names.
Right.
Like, his son, they called reference Jeffrey, and his dad, James. But it wasn't, like, actually his family members, for multiple reasons, in this movie. And you get the first Tar Heel reference where young Michael Jordan says that he wants to grow up to be a basketball player and wants to play at North Carolina.
I want to play at North Carolina.
And his dad says,
That's a real fine school. Real fine school.
It's a real fine school. Real fine school. That kind of sounded like him right there.
He did.
And then he said,
You can get a first class education there.
Thanks again, Michael Jordan.
That should just be on a sheet of paper that the basketball office sends out to recruits. Like, we're going to send you this meme of fake Michael Jordan and fake Michael Jordan's dad talking about how you get a real fine education here.
And it's lock up every single five-star what would.
But it's from your favorite movie, Space Jam.
Maybe your favorite movie.
It is. The youngsters like Space Jam.
So they continue to talk. And Adam, then the final scene of this, or the final part of this scene, young Michael Jordan, like, drives to the hoop like he's about to dunk. And side note, he travels. Holy smokes, he took, like, five steps. Come on, fake Michael Jordan, Dad. You got to blow that whistle.
One of the biggest advancements, I think, in American society in the last 50 years or so is how in 1973, when this scene was supposed to be taking place, when you went out to shoot hoops at 12:30 in the morning, you wore your blue jeans. Now you wouldn't do that.
What is it with kids wearing blue jeans in sports scenes? Remember that happened in some of Jerry Maguire, I think.
But I think in 1970 that was real. But I think
there is nothing that can be more comfortable than denim.
I've rolled up my jeans loosely to give me more aerodynamics and lift. But we are hashtag blessed to be in 2020, where when we go out late to shoot hoops, we can put on something more comfortable. I think that's a big step forward.
So then, Adam, it morphs into this incredibly long Michael Jordan montage / intro to the movie. Like, it's the longest intro to a movie I think I've ever seen. It makes the Footloose dancing feet feel like that only took 5 seconds.
I think what director Joe Pitka decided to do here was, he was like, all right, I need a bridge between 1973 Michael and cartoons. I'm going to drop in Come Fly With Me right here. Just that quick 45-minute VHS video.
Dude, I mean, okay, first of all, there's even like a Laney High School shot in there.
Yep.
There is, for the Tar Heels, I wrote down, there's the steal and dunk against Virginia in 83. There's the rock the cradle dunk against Maryland. There's 82 national championship celebration in there. But then you get, like, full NBA pre-first retirement Michael Jordan montage. You've got, like, the shrug. You've got the, oh, what a move shot against the Lakers. And then, Adam, to your point, I wrote down, Come Fly With Me. It's like all the... Remember he dunked on that guy for the Jazz and Come Fly With Me? That was in there. It was the longest... And it had to be 5 minutes of Michael Jordan and 90s.
Do you think they finished the movie and it was at about an hour 10? And they were like, Joe, we're not going to be able to release this to theaters. It's a little thin. And Joe's like, that's all right. I've got a little cushion built in. I'm going to go back and I'm going to add some highlights. I'm going to cut up. Come fly with me.
Absolutely. That's what happened. Absolutely. It's the longest intro to a movie I've ever seen.
I wasn't sure. I hadn't seen it in so long. I couldn't quite like remember, is this what the movie is? Am I watching the movie right now?
I mean,
I thought this was the credits.
There was the Olympics was in there.
Both 84 and 92.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The two different Olympiad in the opening credits.
So, you then morph into Michael Jordan's retirement speech. But again, Adam, this is part of the brilliance of Space Jam. And the whole thing is supposed to be set in his retirement. But like the end of the movie, and I don't want to give you a big spoiler, but the end of the movie is when Michael Jordan comes back to the Bulls. How smart is Michael Jordan and David Falk and everybody else to be like, okay, here's this year and a half or 2 years when Michael Jordan wasn't playing basketball. So let's just go ahead and make even more money off this time period by having a movie. And of course, and they talked about it in Last Dance about like how they had the gym. So he knew he was coming back while he was making this movie and had the whole gym set up for him. And they had these legendary pickup games and all this stuff. What a savvy move by Jordan and his team.
Surprisingly, that Jordan fellow's got this whole marketing thing figured out.
I mean, just a brilliant move, though.
What I thought the press conference where he's announcing his retirement at the beginning of the movie, that wasn't the press conference, but he was wearing what he wore in that press conference.
Right. I mean, I think there was like a wide shot of it that I do think was that press conference, and then they like zoom in on him, and it's clearly edited.
Right.
And it's then part of the movie, but it looks just like the press conference.
Hollywood, how do you do it?
Is there a green screen involved? Confused. Okay, so Michael Jordan's announcing his retirement saying he's going to go play baseball. That part is real. What is not real, Adam, comes next. And that's when you're taken to an amusement park in space.
You talking about Moron Mountain?
I am indeed. An amusement park in space, Adam, where Mr. Swackhammer, voiced by Danny DeVito, is angry that his amusement park in space is no longer attracting the same attention that it once did. Hashtag challenging times. And it needs new attractions. So, of course, he says they need something wacky. And then he says, no, I need something loony. And oh boy, Adam. Obviously, Mr. Swackhammer tells his little cronies to go kidnap the Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Adam, this is the actual plot of the movie.
Remember, we were just at Michael Jordan's retirement press conference.
Yeah, it changes gears pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Okay, so keep that in your mind. Now we're going straight to Birmingham.
Right.
Where Michael Jordan is playing baseball. And I actually thought this scene was kind of funny where the catcher for whatever team Michael Jordan is playing against.
Kevin Costner.
Yeah. Thanks Michael Jordan for signing an autograph for him and then proceeds to tell Michael Jordan every pitch that is coming throughout the at-bat.
Hey, thanks for autographing that basketball for my kid. I'm a hero now.
No problem. Happy to do it, man.
Let's go!
Curveball, don't swing. Don't swing.
I will say, Adam, I was a little surprised that Michael Jordan kind of very welcomely made fun of himself in these baseball parts because Michael Jordan wasn't as good at baseball as he was at basketball. But he kind of poked fun at himself about that in this movie, which I was surprised to see.
Well, and remember, this was during the time when Michael Jordan very publicly got mad at Sports Illustrated for poking fun at his baseball. So I would have liked to have been in the room when whoever had to approach Michael Jordan with the script and very gingerly say, all right, now here's some ideas that these other guys came up with. You're at bat and you can't hit. And all of your teammates talk about how great you are, even though you strike out, and they're all really impressed by you, and you give it a big Michael Jordan smile. That's what those other guys said would be good. What do you think, Michael?
Yeah, they all give him a standing O and tell him how great his strikeout looked.
Good cut, Michael. Good cut.
That was a strikeout, Mike? That was a good-looking strikeout. Real good.
I mean, you look good when you strike out, man. When I strike out, man, it looks nasty, man. At least you look good, man.
I did think that was kind of funny. Yeah.
And I did enjoy, too, like the catcher tells me, he's like, it's a slider. Don't swing. And he swings anyway and strikes out. He's like, I told you not to swing. And Michael Jordan's like, oh, I couldn't help myself. I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
I wrote Piggly Wiggly sighting down.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know why, but the bad guys are coming in from space. And now keep in mind, of course, all the bad guys are animated. Of course. There aren't actual spacemen, Adam. And so, for some reason, the space guys are going to Warner Brothers land. Mm-hmm. And to do that, you've got to go through the ground, apparently in a Piggly Wiggly parking lot. Am I about right there?
I think all of this is correct.
I don't know if you have to go in, because later Michael Jordan gets to Warner Brothers land by going through a golf hole, which was not in a Piggly Wiggly parking lot. So I guess you just have to get underground somehow.
I think Piggly Wigglies were so ubiquitous at this point in time, you couldn't help but land at a Piggly Wiggly.
This movie jumps around a lot, Adam.
There's a lot of threads that Joe Pitka definitely weaves together with his golden thread of movie making.
Then you go, Michael Jordan's coming home from the game.
At his rental house?
I was confused because while a nice home, probably not the size of Michael Jordan's actual home.
Well, but had Michael Jordan been in Birmingham with like three generations of his extended family, which he seemed to be in this movie.
Yeah. I would assume Michael Jordan, when he was playing baseball, didn't move his entire family, including like his grandmother, to Birmingham. But that maybe I assumed incorrectly.
He had a very nice rental home.
Yes.
Very shady, colonial, tree-lined property.
It looked like the Father of the Bride house.
It did, with an angry dog.
Well, an angry dog that was very clearly a stuffed animal when it attacked Michael Jordan.
Yeah, well,
why any of these scenes are in the movie, you may be asking? We can't answer that question.
To get to an hour 25.
Yeah. So, continuing the theme of Michael Jordan's great and all Jordans are great, Jeffrey Jordan comes home from his baseball game and is angry, and Michael Jordan asks fake Juanita Jordan why Jeffrey Jordan was angry.
What's my with Jeff?
Well, he went 2-for-5 and lost 32 points in his batting average.
Is that all?
Yeah, so that puts him at like a 685 or something.
He's batting what?
This math doesn't work out.
Well, we don't know how many ABs he had had.
Well,
number one, so he was batting 717 and going 2-for-5 dropped him 32 points.
Yeah.
How many ABs had he had until that point in the season?
And really, are you going to be that angry after a 2-for-5 day?
Well, also, how many innings do they play that you got 5 at-bats in a Little League game when you were 8? I've seen a few of those in my day, and you get 2 at-bats, maybe.
Right.
Maybe 3 if your team's really good. I have never seen someone get 5 at-bats when they're 8 years old. Maybe they were playing a doubleheader. But also, was Juanita the coach?
Unclear. She was on the bus.
Well, and on the top half of Juanita, she looked like a coach. She had the jacket and the hat. But on the bottom half of Juanita, she had on her 1990s jeans.
Which, by the way, big pleat movie for Michael Jordan. Big time pleat movie. Pleats everywhere for Michael Jordan in this movie.
Michael Jordan saw us at the Roy Williams press conference and was like, guys, I would have gone more pleats than
that. May want to triple those pleats. Jim Rome makes an appearance on TV, again, dissing Michael Jordan for how bad at baseball he is, which, again, I was surprised. Jim Rome, somewhat famously in Twitter land, tweeted out his residual check that he still gets from Space Jam. It was like $6.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go back to the Looney Tunes, who are encountering the space monsters. And the space monsters say that they are there to capture the Looney Tunes and make them their slaves for the amusement park, the one that's in space. And the Looney Tunes, very reasonably, want a chance to defend themselves against said takeover. So, Adam, how do they decide to defend themselves? Well, number one, that idiot Porky Pig wants a spelling bee.
I had forgotten about Porky Pig.
I'm not sure Porky Pig makes it in 2020.
That's what I thought when I saw it. I thought, I don't know. I bet 2020 doesn't have Porky Pig.
For some reason, Porky Pig chooses what I would assume to be his greatest weakness. The spelling bee.
How about we challenge them to a spelling bee?
That's how you get tougher.
Yeah. So they, obviously, the other Looney Tunes, show him the error of his ways. And they decide that it's going to be a basketball game. Well, the aliens don't know what basketball is. So they show them an instructional video from, it had to be James Naismith's days, Adam. Had to be. Except for they do reference the NBA. So it had to be the beginning of the NBA. Two-handed set shots everywhere.
Currently growing rapidly in popularity is basketball. Unlike football and baseball, only five men can play on a team. It's a fast-paced, razzle-dazzle game that requires quick wits and even faster reflexes.
The aliens decide they need to learn more about basketball. And Adam, this is when I'll say the movie, I think, picks up a little bit. For a little bit of time. Where they then go to a Suns-Knicks game,
right,
to learn more about basketball.
At the Garden.
Yeah, it's at the Garden. Patricia Heaton of Everybody Loves Raymond fame is there, sitting next to the aliens. There aren't many lines out of this movie that I know or think are relevant, but I think this might be one where she's trying to ask her husband what's going on with these weird people sitting next to him, and the husband goes,
"Honey, will you just let me watch the game? Barkley's killing us."
I thought Patricia Heaton wasn't as skeptical of her seatmate as she probably should have been.
Yeah, I think it would definitely be worth taking a couple extra looks at.
Well, their hands and feet are poking out of the raincoat or whatever from time to time.
And they're all made of, like, goo.
Yeah. But she stays in her seat. Like, people have gotten out of their seat for much less than that at a sporting event back when we sat next to strangers.
Right. So the aliens then go and enter Charles Barkley's body and steal his talent. Like, his body's still there.
Right.
And he's still there, but he has no ability to play basketball anymore.
That's right.
In what I thought was a very realistic moment in the movie, Danny Ainge then makes an enormous scene about complaining to Charles Barkley about not getting back to play defense.
Danny Ainge goes palms up on Charles Barkley.
Big time.
And says that Charles Barkley is killing the Suns.
Yeah.
I feel like Charles Barkley has put in enough time with the Suns at this point in time that you can cut him a little slack, Danny Ainge. He's had a couple bad possessions.
Yeah.
His head's not in it. Patricia Heaton's sitting over there. He's got a lot going on. I don't think he deserves this kind of treatment so quickly.
So then we get, not a montage really, but just a sequence where the aliens then realize this is a good plan. So they go and possess Patrick Ewing, Muggsy Bogues, Larry Johnson, and of course, Sean Bradley to steal their talent. You also get some great cameos by basically MJ's boys,
right?
Like Charles Oakley and Ahmad Rashad, AC Green's in there, Paul Westfall. Some great 90s basketball names.
At the start of the Suns-Knicks footage, Did we get a shot of Hubert Davis running along the baseline? I think we did.
I didn't notice it if we did.
I think I saw him very briefly, but then he's not in the later close-up. So I think like the actual game footage, I think we saw Hubert Davis. I don't know if he's still getting residuals.
All right, Adam, this is not a five-second challenge, but a quick trivia question for you.
Okay.
So when you see the aliens go and possess the skills of Muggsy Bogues and Larry Johnson, which, side note, Muggsy Bogues getting his talent stolen was hilarious. He stood there and like made, you know how you used to have to do windmills with your arms like in gym class? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like the little mini ones that like, I guess, got your shoulders loose?
Yeah, of course.
Muggsy Bogues just stood there with his legs like more than shoulder width apart with his arms out and did this like someone cartoon hit him and he was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Awesome scene. Great work, Muggsy Bogues. But here's the trivia question. They show the Hornets head coach. His name is David Urson. Adam, was that actually the Hornets head coach?
No.
It was not.
Alan Bristow.
Yep.
He looked a lot like Alan Bristow.
Well, I had to look. I was like, wait a second. Was that the actual Hornets head coach? It was not. And, Adam, David Urson, unbeknownst to me, has made an appearance in a previous Roadhouse Challenge movie. He was, according to IMDb, the GM in Jerry Maguire. I don't know GM of what, but he was in Jerry Maguire. So, Mr. Urson, congratulations on making back-to-back Roadhouse Challenges.
A lot of big sports roles for him.
Yeah. Kind of dried up after that.
Yeah, a little bit.
Adam, I did think, and this is kind of a funny moment in the movie, so Michael Jordan's now in the hotel, which looks like a Motel 6 or something. I mean, he was with the Birmingham Barons at the time. And it's time for the game, and so Newman from Seinfeld is the is basically like the PR guy for Birmingham who's been assigned to just make sure Michael's happy. And he sticks his head in there and gets every product that Michael Jordan endorses into one sentence.
Come on, Michael, it's game time. Get your Hanes on, lace up your Nikes, grab your Wheaties and your Gatorade, and we'll pick up a Big Mac on the way to the ballpark.
Funny moment.
I thought that was good. There seems to be some debate out in internet land about whether that was part of the script or that was something that Michael Jordan wanted to be in the script that they worked in to make sure everybody got a mention.
I'm going to go with B. You get some more quality mid-90s basketball guys because they're seeing all these. They don't know why all these star players are suddenly unable to play basketball.
Plus Sean Bradley.
They're sick. They're not playing right. And so now, all of a sudden, the Lakers don't want to play. And so you get Adele Harris, who, by the way, Adele Harris could be in mood. He looked like he belonged on the big screen. Get it done, Adele Harris. Vlade Divac, Cedric Ceballos, Anthony Miller? I didn't know who that was, but I think he was the one who said that
bacteria like that can travel faster than the speed of light.
I think that might have been him.
Yeah. Dell is only worried about a huge fine if the Lakers don't play.
We got a game in 5 minutes. I mean, we're talking about a huge fine here.
Vlade is worried that it's the invasion of the body snatchers.
Yeah, it could be invasion of the body snatchers.
Yeah.
So what do they all do, Adam? They put on comically enormous gas masks.
Vlade looks scary in his gas mask.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like he's getting ready to hijack the Olympics or something.
So the Looney Tunes, Adam, feel like they are going to be able to dominate these tiny little space guys in basketball, but then the space guys show up with their new stolen talent and become the Monstars. Coined by Sylvester the Cat.
Time to play a little basketball.
Pipsqueaks just turned into superstars.
They're monsters.
Suffering succotash. They're monstars.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I think we might need a little bit of help.
Everybody with us so far? Then, Adam, comes what I have to say is my favorite scene in the movie. Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, and Bill Murray just out playing golf. Again, I have to think Michael Jordan had some editorial license on this scene because he's going to get to go out there and play golf. There's some betting going on even in the scene. It just felt very MJ.
If you had to choose between an hour 20 of watching Bugs Bunny and Michael Jordan or an hour 20 of Michael Jordan, Bill Murray, and Larry Bird playing golf, which would you pick?
Adam, this to me was the funniest part of the movie.
I think anything with Bill Murray was the funniest part of the movie.
Absolutely. And again, it's almost like Bill Murray was just told to do whatever he wanted.
I kind of feel like Bill Murray happened by the Warner Brothers studio one day and was like coming to drop off something for Ghostbusters 4. And he was like, hey, what's Michael Jordan doing here? And they're like, oh, we're doing a movie with him and Bugs Bunny. He's like, I'll be in that. But the producer was Ivan Reitman, of Ghostbusters fame and of many other things. So he did have a legitimate tie, and I'm glad he did because anytime he came on the screen, it made me happier.
So they're on a par three. Bill Murray hits the ball close. Larry Bird, who is dressed like business casual, hits the ball even closer. There's all this smack talk.
Oh, you clowns can't beat that. It's the best shot I ever hit.
You haven't been playing long.
It's a Hall of Fame shot.
Yeah, yeah. Nice shot, Mr. Bird.
Larry, please.
Nice shot, Mr. Larry.
Side note, Bill Murray wants to join the NBA and thinks he can play in the NBA.
Mike, I got to ask you something. The NBA has to face reality. What's happening to these players is serious. They're going to need new players with talent. Guys who are skilled but never really thought about a professional career before. You think I got a shot? Come on, really.
No.
And then Michael Jordan comes up and hits the ball on the green. Bugs Bunny is under the green with a magnet that somehow controls the golf ball, like comically kind of moves it all around the green and drops it into the hole. Bill Murray, while Bugs Bunny is doing that, goes,
"It is alive!"
Which was really funny. So it's a hole-in-one for Michael Jordan. But the reason it's a hole-in-one, first of his career, according to MJ, is because when he, Michael Jordan, is going to reach into the hole to pull out the ball and Newman's going to take a picture with a camera from 1928, and then MJ is pulled into the hole down into Looney Tune land.
All of this sounds
right.
Plausible so far.
I found it really funny, Adam, when he goes into Looney Tune land. So now it's like real person Michael Jordan in cartoon land. And all the cartoons are like excited to see Michael Jordan because it's Michael Jordan. But then you've got the Tasmanian devil and he just goes, basketball. I thought that was funny.
What's your feeling on Michael Jordan's acting ability?
I think Michael Jordan did a very nice job surrounding himself in this movie so you would feel as though he was one of the two or three best actors in this movie.
Well, there's only like five actual actors in the movie.
Right. Honestly, I thought he was fine.
I thought he played the exact same Michael Jordan that he plays in every single commercial.
Yeah.
Which is basically what this was, so that's probably okay.
It was a 90-minute Michael Jordan commercial.
Right. And he's playing Michael Jordan on commercials in a commercial movie.
Back in real land, Bill Murray and Larry Bird just decide they're leaving.
You think Michael's all right? Boy, I hate to leave him like this.
And, you know, they just decide he's going to be fine. And then Bill Murray with one of my favorite lines of the movie, Adam.
Larry, I'm going to give us both twos back there. We weren't in any kind of emotional state to putt.
I think that's fair.
I also, in this same sequence, we got from Bill Murray, we got the Larry's not white, he's clear.
Yeah. He asked Michael Jordan if he thinks the reason he can't play in the NBA is because he's white.
It's because I'm white, isn't it?
No, Larry's white, so what?
Larry's not white. Larry's clear.
So Michael Jordan don't want to play, Adam. The Looney Tunes now say, hey, MJ, we need your help or we're going to be slaves forever. We need your help against the Monstars, but he doesn't want to play. He's trying to be diplomatic about it. Then the Monstars, Adam, call him Chicken, Wussy Man, and Baldy, which is the one that he seemed to take the most offense to.
You're all washed up, Baldy.
Baldy.
And they actually, using cartoon technology, roll him up into a ball and use him as the basketball. Well, Michael Jordan's not going to stand for that, Adam.
You guys make a big mistake.
He changes his tune and decides that he's going to play.
I hope there's some people listening to this who haven't actually seen the movie yet, and they're having to picture all these events in their head. I do think, to Michael Jordan's credit, acting-wise, I can't imagine it was easy to do, especially this part of the movie where he's not interacting with real people.
So did you see how they did it?
Yeah, did you see the pictures of it?
Oh, I didn't see the pictures. I just read what they did.
So they did basically a giant green screen, and they dressed people in green and had people like standing on boxes to be the Monstars.
Right.
And then Michael Jordan would play basketball around the green people, and then they'd go back and add everything else in.
Yeah.
And but they had to make him tall so that his eyes would match the eyes, and then they'd have, you know, people on their knees for him to be looking at Bugs Bunny and the rest of the gang.
Right.
So that he could have his eye level correctly. But I just can't imagine that's easy to have a conversation with someone all dressed in green who is not actually a Monstar. That seems difficult.
So now you go to the NBA guys, Barkley and Ewing and the gang, and they're trying everything to figure out what's wrong with them. They're going to the doctor. They're going to the psychologist. They're going psychiatrist. They're going everywhere. Funny scene with Barkley as he goes to church and like promises to stop doing all these bad things that he was known for being a bad boy, including dating Madonna.
Which was a very timely 90s reference.
Yeah,
I promise I'll never swear again. I'll never get another technical. I'll never trash talk. I'll never go out with Madonna again.
Do you think Isaiah Thomas was secretly really mad he wasn't in this movie?
Just one of many things that Isaiah Thomas got cut out from. MJ was like, you know what? I want Muggsy Bogues in this movie, not you, Isaiah Thomas.
They're like, Michael, we've been talking to a couple agents, and we've got it, and we've got either Sean Bradley or Isaiah Thomas. He's like, Sean Bradley, let's do it.
Get the big man.
I bet when Isaiah is like locked in his house and the lights are off at night, he's so mad about the Olympics and Space Jam.
This is where I also wrote, is Larry Johnson kind of good? Because I think he's funny when he talks. And I think of the NBA guys, he was probably the third biggest star at the time behind Barkley and Ewing. So Barkley and Ewing got to talk more because they were bigger stars. But I thought Larry Johnson was kind of funny when he did his stuff.
Well, he had the whole background with the Grandmama commercials. Yeah. So he had been a big television star.
Newman's been digging the whole time to try and find Michael Jordan because he got sucked into the golf hole. And I thought it was kind of a funny line where some golfer comes up to Newman who's like, you know, waist deep in a hole that he's been digging for hours and asks what he's doing. And he says, fixing a divot.
What are you doing?
I'm fixing a divot.
Oh.
He's fixing a divot.
This is where I wrote MJ's big time pleat energy because man, was he pleated up.
Yeah.
So a couple things happen here. Then you're introduced, I believe, for the first time in Warner Brothers history, Adam, to Lola Bunny.
Yeah, that's right.
Who is Bugs' girlfriend and who, quite honestly, after MJ, is like the breakout star of this movie.
Yeah, she is the Jessica Rabbit of this movie.
Has anyone here ever played basketball?
I have. I'd like to try out for the team.
Hey.
Hi, my name is Lola Bunny.
Lola?
Yes.
Hello, my name is Bugs.
I didn't understand completely why we needed her.
Eh. And she's really good at basketball, better than any of the other Looney Tunes. And you get the, like, Bugs is like, hey, you want to play, doll? And then she dominates him and says,
don't ever call me doll.
She was then introduced as a character in the Warner Brothers universe because of this movie.
Which I think in their mind, this was going to be Minnie Mouse.
Oh, yeah, right.
But I don't think
And the energy's a little different between Lola and Minnie. I think I agree with you that Jessica Rabbit is a more apt comparison.
Right.
Okay, here's another scene that just felt like it was in there to add time. MJ only has his pleated pants, so he needs his basketball gear. So Bugs and Daffy Duck go to his house in Birmingham to get all his basketball gear, including the North Carolina basketball shorts, which they make this huge deal about him wearing his North Carolina basketball shorts under his Bulls uniform.
Whatever you do, don't forget my North Carolina shorts.
Your shorts? From college?
I wore them under my Chicago Bulls uniform every game. Hey, I washed them after every game.
Sure.
I did.
Michael had moved all his worldly possessions to Birmingham.
In one room.
Right.
In a house that is secure enough that two cartoons can easily break in.
Right.
I will say I was impressed with the animation here for 1996 of having cartoon Bugs and cartoon Daffy in like real world setting in the home interacting with the kids and stuff.
Well, that is very, very perceptive of you, Jones, because I read an interview with some of the animators and they were talking about how that was one of the most difficult scenes to
do. I'm sure it was.
The way the camera follows them as they walk down the hall.
Yeah, I thought it was that part was cool, I thought.
They said that was the thing they spent the most time on.
I wondered, Adam, if this was a little wink to like adults watching this movie when the NBA guys then go to like a fortune teller and she is basically tells you the entire plot of the movie and it all sounds so ridiculous and dumb that the NBA players are like, let's get out of here. She's crazy. Where she's like, I see Michael Jordan and Bugs Bunny. And I just wondered if it was a little wink to the adults going, we know what you're sitting through here.
Yeah.
Little aliens from outer space. They force their way inside your bodies. They need your talent to win a basketball game against Bugs Bunny. I also see Michael Jordan being sucked down a golf hole.
Bugs Bunny and Daffy, funny little side note here, they're trying to decide the name of the basketball team.
Listen, how's this for a new team name? The Ducks! Please, what kind of Mickey Mouse organization would name their team the Ducks?
So sue me, it's just a suggestion.
And this is right after Mighty Ducks had come out, produced by Disney.
Another prime 90s reference. And similar to those Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen conversations we all had in the 90s.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I don't like Daffy Duck better than Bugs Bunny.
Oh, I think Daffy Duck, and I feel this way about Donald Duck too, the clear number two guys in the organization for both Disney and Warner Brothers, I like them both better than the head guy. I like Donald more than Mickey.
I don't think Bugs said anything in this movie that made me laugh. Daffy did it a couple of times.
Yeah, yeah. Well, after Bugs says, what kind of Mickey Mouse, Daffy Duck comes back with a, so sue me. I mean, just like right at Disney for that. I thought that was kind of funny.
I think both Daffy and Donald maybe appeal a little more to the adults, and Bugs and Mickey are maybe a little more to the kids.
Sure.
So I'm just so mature that I get Daffy's humor a little better.
Obviously. A couple of 90s hits where you see Richard Simmons sweating to the oldies. Newman says he wants to help with the basketball team, but he's not tall. And then they all just start going, and slow, and large, and a dork. I was like, gracious, Looney Tunes, he's up. He's on your side.
When Richard Simmons came on the screen, my wife goes, oh, I love him. To which I really had to rethink some things.
People love Richard Simmons. Well-liked guy. Pump Up the Jam by Technotronic makes it that two Technotronic songs in this, right?
Can't get enough.
So then the basketball game starts. We're at the end of the movie. I know you're disappointed. We get to the main game where we're playing for the livelihoods of the Looney Tunes. And the Monstars are just crushing them because Michael Jordan, similar to the early Chicago Bull days, Adam, can't do it all by himself.
Right.
I did. There was one scene in the game where Foghorn Leghorn, the big chicken, is running down the court going,
I wish I was in the land of Cottonwood.
What are you? What is this?
So the big chicken's name is Foghorn Leghorn?
Yeah.
I couldn't remember that.
Yeah. I like Foghorn Leghorn.
I always thought for some reason Foghorn Leghorn was like an old guy, but it's the big chicken.
Well, and then he gets like set on fire and he says, do you want your chicken extra crispy?
That was funny.
Yeah. So it's 66-18 at halftime.
Mm.
Not an ideal score.
Kind of like the 2008 Final Four.
Yes. So the second half's like the 2009 season. Newman learns that the Monstars have the NBA players' talents, and that's how they're so good. A random reference, I think, to Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. Well, and they had the characters appearing to be the Pulp Fiction characters, and because that scene got so many laughs in the test screenings, that's what enabled them to use the Pulp Fiction music, because they weren't going to let them use the Pulp Fiction music with those characters, but the scene played so well that they're like, all right, well, it's funny, so go ahead and have the music. So they did.
So MJ tries to get them all pumped up. They drink MJ's secret stuff, which is actually just water, because, Adam, that's just belief in yourself.
Hey, stop hogging it, Mike. We're your teammates.
Secret stuff.
Secret stuff?
You wouldn't hold out on us, would you?
No, I mean, I don't think you guys really needed it. I mean, you're so tough.
I
believe you can fly.
Only in the last few years have I realized what a big deal Michael's secret stuff is.
Yes.
I don't think I even really remembered that from the movie.
It's a big part, yes.
But it... Again, if you're of the certain age, Michael's secret stuff is a big thing.
So they all play much better in the second half. Lots of Looney Tune hilariousness. 68-66 is the score. And MJ ups the ante and says he, too, will go to the space amusement park if they lose. The Looney Tunes get beat up. They don't have enough players. Newman tries to help. He gets flattened. Like, literally flattened. I thought another cool piece of animation for the time. Bill Murray arrives to help save the day. Funny line where somebody says,
I didn't know Dan Aykroyd was in this picture.
Thought that was pretty funny. And so it comes down to the last possession, Adam. The good guys are down by one. And Bill Murray's going through this whole play, which, again, I thought Bill Murray was great, where he's like,
Doc.
Yes.
You kick it into the girl, Bunny.
Yeah.
Down in the post. You dish it back out to the guy, Bunny.
Got
it. You swing it around the mic over here. You go to the hole and dominate.
Michael Jordan's like, hey, we're on defense. They have the ball.
Somebody steal the ball, give it to me, and I score before the time runs out.
AKA every huddle for the Bulls in the 90s.
Phil Jackson nodded his head knowingly. Apparently, Bill Murray was only supposed to be in the golf scenes, but had such a good time that he was like, hey, I'd like to be in the basketball. Could y'all write me in? And since it wasn't real elaborate writing,
yeah,
they're like, yeah, sure, that's fine. And so he came back and did some more, which, as Jones said, was some of the best stuff in the movie.
So they do indeed get the steal. Michael Jordan gets the ball, takes off from half court, and has the pretty famous visual of like all the Monstars hanging on him. But since he's in Looney Tune land, he's able to stretch way out and is able to dunk it right at the buzzer, and the good guys win. But he still has a baseball game to play. So he arrives at the field after everybody celebrates. They arrive at the field in the spaceship because now the Monstars decide they want to be good guys and don't want that space amusement park life anymore. So they let MJ borrow their spaceship to get back to the baseball game. And an all-time, let's thank Michael for being awesome and being in this movie moment, Adam, where like Newman walks off the spaceship and goes, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Jordan. And it's basically just a, hey, let's have a spotlight on MJ. He's going to wave at everybody. Everybody's going to cheer for him. Right?
Yeah. Just to remind you, in case you had forgotten that your last hour had been devoted to Michael Jordan being great.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan is great.
Get an all-time, an underrated all-time movie thumbs up from Michael Jordan's son to Michael Jordan. I mean, it's like the frame is nothing but the kid. He gives it the big kid smile, the like, hey, dad, thumbs up, champ. It is an incredible thumbs up.
Nice throwback to 1962.
Yeah. So all the NBA guys get their game back. Michael Jordan returns to the NBA. Everything in the world is right, Adam. Space Jam.
We got a nice Carolina Mudcats shot.
Oh.
When Michael got off the spaceship, the Barons were standing there and they were playing the Mudcats. They had just concluded a big series over in Zebulon. Let's see what else. The Newman role.
Yes.
Turned down by Michael J. Fox, Chevy Chase, Jason Alexander.
I could see Jason Alexander playing it. I could not see Michael J. Fox or Chevy Chase doing it.
Michael J. Fox is the one most frequently mentioned and the one I could least see doing that.
It would be a totally different feel. With Newman doing it, it was total, like, sloppy, goofy, slapstick guy.
Newman.
Right. So it would be a different feel. I bet it would be a little more professional if Michael J. Fox was there.
Narrowly. Joe Pitka, the director, we mentioned he did the Air Jordan and Hair Jordan ad. He also did the McDonald's Nothing But Net ads.
Mm.
You remember those where Michael Jordan and like Larry Bird were playing horse?
Adam, I'm just going to say, I think Joe Pitka can make commercials.
Right, exactly. And a lot of people talked about how he had this certain style when he did his commercials and you could always tell it was him. Sometimes you just stick with what you're good at.
Yeah.
But I can understand that probably the money was good.
Oh, yeah. Come on now.
Highest grossing basketball movie ever. Just ahead of White Men Can't Jump.
Congratulations, Space Jam.
A loser in the Roadhouse Challenge poll.
Yeah.
1996 box office. This movie came out in November, so a little bit of box office in 97. But in 96, number one was Independence Day. Number two, Twister. Number three, Mission Impossible.
Can I just say I really like Independence Day and Twister?
Independence Day, which major disaster movie is that? That's Will Smith and yeah. Bill Pullman is the president.
Yeah.
And he gives the big speech.
Wait, Bill Pullman or Bill Paxton? One of the other ones in.
Bill is the president.
Yeah.
And he gives
the
big
great
speech.
Gives the great speech.
Today is our Independence Day.
Great movie speech.
I think that's Bill Pullman.
I think it is, too.
Space
Jam. Is the other one in Twister?
Yes. He's the storm chaser with Helen Hunt.
And I think he's passed away in real life, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for bringing it down.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Space Jam came in number 15, just behind Star Trek First Contact, just ahead of Mr. Holland's Opus. So people at the Cineplex had the choice between going to see heartwarming Mr. Holland's Opus or Michael Jordan and maybe two other legitimate actors, and they mostly went for Michael Jordan. We talked about the soundtrack, which is phenomenal. It only ever went to number two, which surprised me, the soundtrack. The movie was number one its first week. The soundtrack peaked at number two, certified 6 times platinum in 2001.
Wow. All right. Adam, you ready to Roadhouse challenge this bad boy?
Yeah. Now, is the scale 4 or 5?
5.
Okay, just making sure. Okay.
Who are you?
I'm sorry, I've been at an outer space amusement park.
Yeah, I understand.
I think this is a strong contender. It is very of its time.
It's very 90s. It's very ridiculous and over the top. It's not, but it's not a good movie. I think it understands what it is, though. I'll give it credit for that, too. I don't think it's not trying to be something it isn't.
I think having Michael Jordan instead of any other basketball player, like say that was Magic Johnson.
This movie is zero without Michael Jordan. It's nothing.
And Michael Jordan gives it a little bit of timelessness that takes away from its Roadhouse scale.
That's a good call.
Because even today, your son will watch Michael Jordan.
Sure.
If you had said, hey, guess what? Dale Ellis is on this movie with Bugs Bunny, he's probably not as excited about that.
Yeah.
Like if it's Chris Mullen, that's not working. I'm going 4 Roadhouses.
Roadhouse. 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 Roadhouse.
I think it's extremely 90s, and all the funniest parts, most of the funniest parts, have something to do with the 90s. Like even Charles Barkley's comment about dating Madonna, like today you don't get that, but in the 90s you knew, oh, there was that thing about was he dating Madonna? Very 90s. It's got Sean Bradley. That alone is worth half a Roadhouse.
Yeah, this is tough. And I think sometimes, and even we get it muddled, Adam, about the Roadhouse scale.
Right. Well, because no one knows what it is.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's a moving target.
Right.
Of all the movies we've watched, I think this is probably the least good movie.
Whew, that's a skill to climb.
Well, maybe not quite the least good movie, but it's up there.
It's in the discussion for sure.
Yeah.
Of least good.
But all the things you said are accurate as well. It's very 90s. It's ridiculous. It doesn't take itself too seriously, which are all pluses on the Roadhouse scale. This is tough. I'm going three. Three Roadhouses for me.
Roadhouse. Roadhouse. Roadhouse.
I think
I was thinking really much lower than that, which would be the case if we were just grading the movie.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I think on the Roadhouse scale, it's higher.
I think it instantly dates itself to a certain time, which makes it high on the Roadhouse scale. But I got a question for you. Would you rather watch an hour 20 of Space Jam or 2 hours of Bull Durham?
Wow. I don't know that answer, but I also didn't love Bull Durham the way that some people love Bull Durham.
I didn't either.
I thought it was a little bit of a slog to get through Bull Durham.
Me too. At least I still had my 40 minutes when Space Jam was over.
Yeah. Now, if you'd have asked me if I'd rather watch Top Gun, Footloose,
come on,
or Tombstone,
yeah,
or Ferris Bueller's Day Off, or Dirty Dancing. You know, I got to say one thing. I do wish I'd rated Dirty Dancing higher in retrospect.
Yeah, but...
but there was reasons. There were reasons.
It all has to do with the scale.
Yeah.
You weren't rating the quality of the movie. You were rating the does it put itself in a certain era.
No, you're right. You're right. I can't look back at them.
The cinematographers made that choice, not us.
Yeah. That's right. I can only look forward.
That's right. To Space Jam 2.
As we all do.
Would you go see Space Jam 2?
If my son wanted to, I would take him.
I would probably make my son go by himself.
Well, I think our sons are in a little different age bracket, though. Okay, a fun, silly watch movie. Again, I get why some people love it. I enjoyed it. I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was.
The best parts.
And I'm glad I've watched it.
That is 100% true. I'm glad to have seen it just to have that frame of reference.
Right.
The best parts by far, anything that had to do with the Tar Heels and anything that had to do with Bill Murray.
Yeah, agree with both those things.
If we could have had Bill Murray talking about the Tar Heels, then we got a movie. I would go see that movie right now. Those are the two best parts. Michael Jordan is Michael Jordan. I don't care what he does in a movie. He's still Michael Jordan.
Okay, so as we are recording this, we are assuming the Tar Heels are playing basketball in Asheville. We'll be back, right? Yeah. Friday with a normal episode of the pod where we'll recap everything that's happened in Asheville. We'll preview Western Carolina football. And, of course, we'll have a lot of other stuff built up to talk about.
No video pod on Thursday. Because we'll be coming back from Asheville, in theory, in this world we're talking about.
Yeah.
But, yes, audio pod Friday, rapid reaction pod Saturday.
Yes. Okay. Adam, let me think. We don't have any slam. Do we have Michael Jordan saying, see you later, Big Grits?
What about Bugs Bunny? Bill Murray?
Muggsy?
Who do you think... of everyone in the movie, who's the most likely person, if we really devoted our resources, that we could get to say, see you later, Big Grits?
Newman.
I was going to say Sean Bradley.
Or Sean Bradley. But you know who we do have that I feel like might play here, Adam? Is Dan Cortez. I feel like Dan Cortez can play here in getting us out of this Roadhouse Challenge.
I'm a little surprised he wasn't in this.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This would have been a perfect time for Dan Cortez to be in this movie.
That's right.
So we're going to let Dan Cortez and the RZA get us out of here on the latest edition of the Carolina Insider.
Hey, what's up? I'm Dan Cortez, and see you later, Big Grit.
When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat grits for dinner.
Pound box of sugar and a stick of margarine. A hot pot of grits kept my family from starving. Steamy hot meal served less than 5 minutes. Big silver pot boiling water salt in it. House full of brothers and sisters, the pot's missing. Pilgrim on a box on the stove in the kitchen.
When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat grits for dinner.
See you later, Big Grit.
The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Tar Heel Sports Network.